Hi there, welcome to another episode of the Heart of a Youth Leader weekly podcast for all of us involved in youth and children's work in the local church. If you like these short podcasts, I'd love you to share them with your team, those you lead young people with, and to see if it can encourage them as well. And if you do find them useful, really would love you to like it and subscribe so you get it in your weekly podcast feed or on YouTube. It pops up in your recommended channel every week so you can see it easily. It also helps other people to find it, the more people that say it's any good. So I'd really appreciate that. And thanks for your time. Now, this week, I'm going to go back to a story that we've covered before and is very well known. But one thing stood out to me as I read it this week, which I hadn't really reflected on very deeply before. It's the story of the prodigal son, or as the NIV now calls it, the story of the lost son, the parable of the lost son. And you can find it in Luke chapter 15. It says, after a series of parables about loss, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And it's really well known, isn't it? But here's the thing. It starts in verse 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he, the father, divided his property between them. Amazing, amazing. Even at that start, this story of Jesus is like preposterous. It's out of line. It's completely, all the people listening would be like indignant with the attitude of this young man. How dare you ask your father for your share of the estate? Because basically that's saying, Dad, I can't wait for you to die and get my inheritance. I want it now. I wish you were dead. Just get that into your head that a child comes up to you and goes, Dad, I'm not waiting for you to die. I want to live now. I want my money. I want what's entitled to me now. Give me my half of the estate. And the dad does it. And you can imagine the people hearing this story of Jesus going, what? How dare this son? What is this dad doing? Why is the dad not just telling him what to do and putting him in his place and disciplining him? But no, the father is going, well, if that's what you want, you know, fair enough, have it. And we know the story, don't we? Not long after that, the younger son got all he had, set off for a distant country, and then squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Now, as a good Jewish lad, you wouldn't go near pigs, let alone look after them. And this boy longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He got so desperate, so low, so in need, that he was looking at these unclean animals, animals that you're not supposed to go near, and he wants to eat their food. It's like even the pigs are eating better than I am. And it says in verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. He's thinking, I don't need to be my father's son. I could be one of his servants because they get treated better than how I am being treated right now. They get food and they have some to spare, whereas I can't even get food off these pigs. And here's the thing that really hit me this week. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And the thing that stands out to me is while he was still a long way off, the father saw him. The father had compassion. It's my boy. It's my son. And he ran to greet his son. Now, in those days, the sign of your position was you didn't run. So the leaders, the elders, the rabbis would not run anywhere. You don't hear of many people running who are people of respect, of local renown. And yet this father doesn't care about those kind of things. His heart is so moved at the sight of his son returning that he pegs it down the hill to his son and rejoices that he's come home. And the thing that hit me is our Heavenly Father is that. He doesn't wait and go, well, you know, I've given you enough chances. What are you going to do to make yourself better? He pursues us. He pounds down the hill after us. He delights to be near us. Whenever we show any kind of hint of coming towards him, he runs to us, full of compassion, because no matter what you and I have done wrong, no matter how selfish we've been, no matter how bad we've been, how unkind we've been, how rude we've been, how impatient we've been, how unloving we've been, when we turn and face our Father, he runs towards us with arms wide open, desperate to embrace us, to welcome us home, and to go, my boy is found, my boy is back, my daughter is home. Let's celebrate. And today I want us to remember that that's how the Father sees us. Not just that first time when we actually gave our life to follow Jesus, perhaps, but every time we pursue him, every time we give time to pray, every time we wait in his presence, every time we are reading our Bibles, every time we're talking about faith, every time we are depending on him, he is running towards us. With his heart full that we are looking to him, just like an earthly father is full of love for his child when they turn and have need. And for me, it takes us into our youth work, doesn't it? Of, are we modelling that to our young people? Do we expect our young people to come to the youth group or actually tough luck? Or do we see them just starting to consider coming? Or do we see them in the street and run towards them and go, it's so great to see you. Welcome home. Come home. Come back. And I think especially with the aftermath of the lockdowns and the pandemic, where lots of churches have seen young people who used to come to the youth group and used to be part of the family no longer really connected or no longer coming, they've chosen to do other things, whatever that may be. We need to be like that father, waiting, longing, praying, but looking out for them. It's not up to them to come all the way. As soon as we see them turning, we need to run to them and bring them home. So who have you got on your list? Who's come to mind as I talk? Who's the person, the young person, you go, actually, I haven't seen him for ages. Haven't seen her. She's not replying to any messages. Or, actually, I haven't really done anything to reach out. Let's reach out to them. Let's remind them of God's love. And let's run towards them with hearts full of compassion and bring them home. Go for it.